Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Podcast. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice. Our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Well, welcome everybody. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is The Healthy Mind Podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the program. I really do appreciate it. I hope you're having a good week. This week on the podcast, we're going to be talking about depression, but a little bit different take on it. Depression and why depression hurts so much. Why does it hurt so much? And here, what I'm going to talk about is not just about the emotional suffering, why that really hurts, how much of an albatross that is on our back, and the common feelings that people feel, why that happens, but also how and why depression literally, physically hurts. So a whole lot of understanding on depression, at least the latest understanding as to why both our emotions and our physical body literally hurts when we're depressed and maybe struggling through a difficult time, and some ways to look at it to maybe just help you through that time. It can be really tough. We've all been there with milder forms of sadness, and we know what that feels like, and how we can just help each other along. That's what we're going to be talking about here today on The Healthy Mind. In the second half of the podcast, well, some pretty interesting news. First off, do you think you know everything about your partner? Oh, yeah. You think you do? Oh, think again. Wow, some really interesting news out of the University of Minnesota on how much we really hide from those we love the most. You're going to be very surprised and want to stick around. This will probably generate some conversation tonight at the dinner table or when you're together with your spouse, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. You're going to be talking about it. And also, how do you know when someone's being honest with you by text? Are there ways to tell simply by looking at your phone if someone's lying to you? Oh, yeah. Three ways that you can spot a texting liar right away. We're going to be talking about that. We're going to do some headlines. Hey, we've got ourselves a pretty good podcast this week. I am really happy that you're here. So, are you ready? Let's begin. Okay, well, as I had said at the beginning of the podcast, this week we're going to be talking about depression and why it hurts so much. People will come in often if you live with someone, a loved one who may be suffering with depression, or a friend, or if you have struggled with that. You know what that is like. It hurts. It really does. On so many levels, there's emotional pain. And there's also physical pain. And there's really good reasons as to why that is happening. But why does it hurt so much? Why? You know, people come in and they talk to me and they feel so bad. They almost feel embarrassed. And this is where I say how powerful people are, because they don't realize how much that they are putting up with, how much they are dealing with, but yet still carving out a life. They'll come in and they'll say, gosh, everything gets on my nerves. Everything gets me upset or sad or tearful or angry. What is going on? Why does everything hurt so much when I'm so sad or depressed? And I ask you, even if you haven't suffered with really bad depression, hopefully you haven't, but on those nights where you haven't gotten a good night's sleep, or maybe, like we all have, you've gone through a period of time where you haven't slept real well, think about what that's like. Think about what those days after are like. We're irritable. We don't really like a lot of noise, a lot of sound, a lot of smell. I mean, it just is really intense, right? We want to be left alone. We want it quiet. And depression is kind of like that, but amplified. And a common analogy that I always use, and I think it's very helpful here in understanding this, is a sprained ankle. Sprained ankle has a lot to do with depression. And if you'll follow me here, when we're walking along, gosh, we don't think about our feet, right? Unless they're hurting or there's something wrong with them, we don't think about it. We're just walking along. But what happens when you have a sprained ankle? When you have a sprained ankle, it doesn't matter how lightly you walk. You can take a very deliberate step or barely touch the ground, and ouch, boy, you feel it. That pain just shoots up your leg. It hurts so bad. Doesn't matter. Little stress of walking, very lightly or a lot, it hurts. Everything hurts. And this is kind of the analogy I give to people when they come and see me, because I want them to understand, I want you to understand those feelings that you have. My gosh, why does everything hurt? Why is it so hard for me to pay my bills or to do the laundry or get something for dinner or just play with the kids or my spouse? Why is that so hard? This is why it's hard. Because depression is there. It's always there. And no matter how lightly you tread, no matter how light the stress may be, a minor stress, it hurts. You feel it. You feel it. You might get angry. You might get anxious. You might well up and cry, but you feel it. And like that sprained ankle, you feel every step that you take. So if you're feeling that, don't assume that you're weak or that you can't handle your life. It means that those are symptoms of depression. Or if it's on a minor level, maybe you're stressed, maybe you're going through a difficult time. But what it doesn't mean is that you're weak or that you can't handle stress. These are symptoms. And it really emotionally can hurt. Now, there's a whole other layer to this as well. Depression can literally hurt physically. We've talked about this here on The Healthy Mind before. Many of you know, if you're new to the show, welcome. But if you've been listening, you know that my area of interest is in the way people express their emotions physically. So we know that anxiety and depression can come out as physical symptoms. It might be stomach aches, nausea, or back pain, or various types of pain, headaches maybe. So there are ways that mood or emotions will express themselves through the physical. So you can literally hurt because of your emotions. But we also know, and this is where the science is going now, in trying to understand physical pain that is chronic in nature. We know that pain isn't just a sensory experience, right? And what do I mean by that? Well, on one level, there is a reason why we may be in pain. Might be a muscle problem, a nerve problem, we might have had some trauma, hurt ourselves, whatever it may be, or some kind of physical illness that is making us hurt, physical pain. But it isn't just as simple as the sight of injury or disease. That pain signal goes up into our brains for us to say, ow, that hurts. But that pain signal, as it hits the brain, can be affected by our emotions. It's kind of what is known as the neural matrix of pain, a really fancy term. But all that means is that when pain comes up to the brain to say, hey, you're in pain, It's affected by many, many things. And one of the things that it's affected by is emotions. And I ask people to consider kind of their emotions like volume knobs. So if you're struggling, a lot of anxiety, a lot of depression or stress, that turns up the volume. So when that signal comes in of something hurting in your body, going to ramp it up and you're going to really, really feel it. But on the other hand, if you're happy, if you're excited, if you're content, you're calm, that same signal may come up, but the pain signal gets turned down. The emotions are that powerful. So we can see the implications there. If you struggle with depression, you may be predisposed to feel more pain. And it's really, really difficult at times when you're feeling depressed, particularly for a long period of time, not to hurt, not only emotionally, but physically as well. But there's hope. There's hope there. You can get help that you need if you're struggling with the effects of stress or anxiety or depression. Now, you all know I'm a psychiatrist, but this show really isn't a discussion about medications only. Don't talk about them a whole lot. I believe in them. I think they're helpful. But when I say get help, get treatment, I'm not talking just about medications. It could be therapy. It could be counseling. It could be exercise, meditation. But you can get better. We are that strong. All of us. We all have that potential. You have that potential in you right now. And I say that because you may be struggling with a depressive disorder or an anxiety disorder, and you're hurting both emotionally and physically in the ways that I talked about, but you're showing up every single day. You're showing up for life. And who is stronger? The person that walks a mile or the person that walks a mile with a 50-pound sack of potatoes on their back? That's right. The person who's carrying all that weight. You need to understand this. I don't just say never doubt how truly powerful you are because I think I've got a catchy phrase. I say it because it's true. You need to see the strength that is inside of you because it exists. And yeah, depression can hurt physically and emotionally. But with the right approach and the right treatment, you can move past that. And both your emotional and your physical pain can get better. It can. And then, well, life begins to change. It really does. And when you start to see that, you have taken such an important step as you walk down your road to the healthy mind. And now, it's time for news. Okay, well, a busy week of news. Seems like it is every week, but a couple of really interesting stories I wanted to share with you. The first one, oh, if you're in a relationship, husbands, wives, girlfriends, boyfriends, how well do you think you know your partner? Like, you know him well, right? Oh, yeah, I know. You are soulmates, right? Oh, you know each other like the back of your hand. You complete each other's sentences. Match made in heaven. You think you know him, right? Oh, think again. A new study out of the University of Minnesota has found that even in committed relationships, people hide issues of money, addiction, health, or personal failures from each other. Well, the researchers were pretty surprised by the findings based on their research. According to the University of Minnesota professor of family social science, Dr. Paul Rosenblatt, quote, many people revealed that they hungered to be known and yet kept secrets from their partner. They hid past relationships or that they had an affair, while others hid issues of money, addiction, or health and personal failures. Now, clearly, communication in a relationship is so important. And there is an argument for saying, do I need to tell my partner every single secret or something that I'm ashamed of. That's not what we're going for here. But knowing and not knowing things are really important to relationships. Sometimes what we want and then what we do can be, well, it can be a little mixed up. According to Dr. Elizabeth Weiling, who is also another researcher with Dr. Rosenblatt, she says, often the entanglement is paradoxical. For example, a person saying she wants to be known very, very well and yet keeping some things hidden from a partner. It was also interesting how partners act depending on how long they've been together. For example, they found that many partners will investigate their significant others in the early stages of a relationship. They may talk to family and friends of the person. They might be interested in who they're texting, who they're calling, etc., etc. But as people got older, and I guess this makes really good sense, many people said that knowing everything about their partner wasn't that important. Get to know people and you trust them. In fact, they talked about major breaches of trust and how various couples dealt with it. An affair. Some couples, it was over instantly, while other couples got through that and the relationship reached a whole different level of understanding and commitment. All different ways that we communicate in relationships, what we do know about each other, what we don't know about each other. I guess the point of this isn't to be cynical, right? It's fun to make a joke, but talk to each other. It's the only way that we can truly know what's going on. We don't have to tell everything, but I think the important parts of who we are really important to talk about. And when someone asks us, at least giving the most honest answer we possibly can. Okay, now talking about honest answers, how about that for a segue? You're texting someone, right? How do you know they're telling you the truth? Maybe you're kind of feeling, this doesn't make sense. I don't really know that this is on the up and up. Well, there's been research done at Brigham Young University, and there is a way to tell if someone's lying to you by text. The headline, Three Ways to Spot a Texting Liar. It turns out that people who lie while texting take a longer time to respond. And this wasn't just for texting. This will happen in instant messaging as well as on social media. Now, we've been there, right? You're texting along and all of a sudden, where did this person go? Why did it take him so long? And then you get a response. You know there's something going on there. You can feel it in your gut. Well, Brigham Young University researchers are on your side. What they found was that when people text and they're being dishonest, they find out that, number one, they take longer to respond. Number two, they make more edits in what they're going to text. And number three, they write shorter responses than usual. Take longer, edit it more, shorter responses. According to Dr. Tom Meservey from Brigham Young University, quote, digital conversations are a fertile ground for deception because people can easily conceal their identity and their messages often appear credible. Unfortunately, humans are terrible at detecting deception. You know, we really aren't that good. And probably because most of us are fairly trusting and we're good people. So we project a lot of that in the people that we meet, that we talk to, and that can be exploited. According to Dr. Meservey, humans can detect lies about 54% of the time accurately. It's not a whole lot better than a coin flip. And it's even harder, you could see why, when you're talking to someone by text. The only thing you have are the words. So what the researchers are hoping to do, at least with their research, is get the word out. These are the signs. We're not that good at detecting lies. So what we found is a person's going to take longer. They're going to edit what they're texting and their shorter responses. You pair that along with a gut feeling that this person isn't being straight with you, maybe, just maybe, you've got a better chance than a coin flip to figure out that someone's lying to you.
Okay, with the time that we have left, I just want to blast through the rest of the news in a segment I like to call the Healthy Mind Headlines.
Okay, the first headline. Does entering the lottery affect a person's self-control? A simple action like buying a lottery ticket can trigger materialistic thoughts, which causes some people to lose self-control. This, according to a new study in the Journal of Consumer Research. The next headline. Exercise for depression. There are benefits, but more trials are needed. Exercise may benefit people suffering from depression, according to an updated systematic review done by researchers at the University of Edinburgh in the UK. The authors of the review found evidence to suggest that exercise reduces symptoms of depression, although there may be more trials to firmly establish that relationship. And finally, why does a fancy purse say, "Stay away from my man"? Women are unconsciously deterring romantic rivals by buying certain luxury items, according to a new study. Sometimes it's because they want other women to know their mates are spoken for. The authors also found that women indicated they would be less likely to pursue a man whose partner was wearing a luxury outfit because they perceived that that man was more devoted to that woman. How about that? A fancy luxury purse means stay away. He's mine. Amazing. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that is just about going to do it for this week's podcast. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast. Thank you for all the positive messages and email. I really do appreciate it, and it really, really keeps me motivated. The website, as always, thehealthymind.com. You can follow me on Twitter. I tweet at Dr. Zafiridis. Also, every one of the podcast episodes is available on iTunes, so if you've got your phone, iPod, whatever it is, and you want to carry me in your pocket, it's right there on iTunes. Thanks to all of you who have rated the podcast. If you like what you're listening to, I would just love it if you would rate the show. It makes such a huge difference in getting the word out. You can email me at any time. Please don't hesitate. I want to hear from you. The email address is peter@thehealthymind.com. That's peter@thehealthymind.com. And for the Healthy Mind Podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a great week, everybody, and I'll see you next time right here on the Healthy Mind.